place.
Okay, at 7 o'clock, let's call this meeting to order, please. Everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Coke.
Here.
Colosimo.
Present.
Kocher.
Here.
Gosiewski.
Here.
Frieders.
Nay.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Tarulis.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
A quorum is established.
Any amendments to tonight's agenda? I do have one. Mr. Frieders would like to talk about St. Patrick's Day before we get started.
St. Patrick's Day, yes, thank you, sir.
While we have a full room. You do?
I want to talk about St. Joseph's Day.
I have an amendment to the
agenda. Okay, what you got?
Can you pull number 1EPC, the Resolution for the Developmental Agreement off the consent agenda, please?
Sure. Now we'll put that under EDC. And all those in favor of amending the agenda as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Joel, go ahead.
All right, this Saturday, March 16th, from 8 a.m. to midnight in downtown Yorkville, we've got St. Patty's Day going on all day. 8:30 a.m., we start up with live music at South Bank Original Barbecue, followed by the 5K Run SOB at 9 a.m. At 11 a.m., we have our second annual St. Patrick's Day Parade. If you're still interested in being in the parade, please contact Parks and Rec. After the parade, we've got live music by the Whiskey Brothers at SOB. And then from 12:30 to midnight, all throughout downtown, Casa Santiago, Law Office, Rowdies, SOBs, Mike and Denise's, Susie's, or Roadhouse, we've got music and activities going on all day. If you feel like venturing out, I've been told by the mayor that the weather will be sunny and pleasant. So please show up, wear green, and let's have a ball.
Thank you. I have
one thing.
Yes, sir.
It's just my annual reminder that St. Patrick was a Roman parent, so he's technically Italian. and he was forced to go to Ireland against his will. All right? So it's technically an Italian holiday. I'd just like to point that out.
Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah, right.
Okay, next on presentations, we do have a presentation for Yorkville Christian High School basketball team, the mighty Yorkville Mustangs, who had a historic run in the 1A division, made it all the way to Super Sectionals, so very proud, and only in their third year in IHSA. So if we can bring the coaches and boys forward, we have some certificates for you.
Together at the right time, and up until that Elite Eight game, we had won 11 in a row.
So we got hot at the right time. I'm so proud of them. They stuck together and played to glorify the Lord, and that's the most important thing for us. So
very nice. All the York girls proud of you, Alex. Alex, are you here?
Yeah. Yes.
Congratulations, sir. Colton.
All right.
There you go, sir. Congratulations. Thanks. Tristan. Congratulations. Luke.
Franklin.
Yes.
Congratulations. Christian. Congratulations. Jaden. Congratulations. Lucas. Congratulations. Malik. Congratulations. Thank you. Makai. Congratulations. Ian.
Ian's sick today.
Okay, I'll go back to you. Elijah. Congratulations, sir. Jonah.
I am.
You guys couldn't stay in the order, huh?
And Juan.
Congratulations again, gentlemen. One more round of applause.
So do we have any citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening?
Chusky?
Stay.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular city council meetings of February 12, 2019 and February 26, 2019 as presented.
So moved.
Comments or questions or corrections on either of the sets of minutes? All those in favor of approving, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? motion to approve a resolution accepting Service Printing Corp's bid to provide design and distribution services related to the Parks Department's triannual program catalog and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tourulous?
Aye.
Pelosima?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the mayor's appointment of Daniel Williams to the Planning and Zoning Commission to a vacant term ending April 30th, 2021.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? Mr. Williams is a civil engineer. Is Mr. Williams here today? Hello, sir. You're a civil engineer and...
Designer director, actually, but I work in civil engineering.
Okay, wonderful. And I think it'd be a great addition. We had a lot of candidates. I was surprised. We had about 8 applications. So thank you very much for your service. Roll call, please.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tourulous?
Aye.
Pelosima?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Motion passes.
No Public Works Committee report. For Economic Development Committee report, I will turn it over to Alderman Koch.
Okay, I want a motion to approve an ordinance approving a third amendment to the annexation of land unit development agreement, Grand Reserve Subdivision, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Comments or questions? Yes, sir.
I was hoping that the school board would have more commentary on the whole project, essentially. And I think they kind of proved the point of only 3 kids that went out of the home. And I don't want to stand in the way of somebody else being able to make money, but I also don't want to see a vacant neighborhood sitting there. I live in a partially vacant neighborhood, and I know how desolate it sometimes seems. Thankfully, I have roads, so I'm okay. But after reading all through their notes and then looking at this 2 or 3 times and having a discussion with the builder, no more four-bedroom homes, and then we're going to stick with the 3 bedrooms. And also having parents who are looking at their, you know, final home, the idea of having that third bedroom, because, you know, people tend to live in separate bedrooms nowadays, which sounds awesome. I think it's a good move, and I don't see any detriment to the school board, and I do think the arrangement with the extra park and the extra cash does kind of sweeten the deal for those who live around it and would like to see a finished neighborhood. So I'm supporting it.
Anyone else? Joe?
You know, I would like to see it bump up from 50 to 75%. I'm not okay with just completely taking it off. I think we need to find the happy medium there, and that's where it is. Because I don't want to put cramp on the school board, even though it's not likely to happen. You don't want something that you don't see in the future, like we've seen many times before. We couldn't predict it, and all of a sudden now we have overcrowded the school and hampered the school district, which doesn't have a lot of input on this.
Anyone else?
I think the school board is already, I think that school's already at capacity from what I've been told. So I think that kind of presents another challenge too. It was a few years ago, and I think right now they're at capacity. So it could present a challenge in the future.
How many units are already built out in that?
53.
But that's the thing, out of 63 units, we have 3 children. We're not talking overwhelming numbers here. This is, once again, it's not age-restricted, but it's age-targeted. And they seem to have been doing a good job at targeting those, obviously, without children. You know, no swing sets, small backyards, things of that nature. I just don't see it as a problem. 63 units, 3 children.
Yeah, this is, it's not age-restricted, it's targeted. Everybody going into this knew that this was targeted. And it's a lifestyle price. Small yards, no fences, no play sets. I mean, the only difference is it's a different bedroom mix now. Grand Reserve Elementary was never intended to be a school that could accommodate the entire neighborhood or development of Grand Reserve. It was no, I mean, you can't put all those students in one elementary school. mathematically would have never worked. So that's something the district does have to figure out is where they're going to move students because they are at capacity. That's something that they've been talking about. They've been kind of skirting that issue, but they kind of got beat down pretty hard when they talked about boundaries several years ago. So this is, they're still getting transition fees. If students do come in, they're going to be minimal. I mean, I don't think we're going to see a huge influx of students out of this area. So I know that the school board wasn't in favor of it just because they're running up against capacity based on what they say is the max that they can put into rooms in the classroom. But that's based on what parents said and what they wanted. They could easily put a few more students in a classroom and then, you know, capacity problems don't exist necessarily. It's all semantics on how they want to do it, where they want to put the students. So I don't see an issue with this. I want to see this neighborhood continue to grow, which is doing a very good job right now. I want to see that keep going. So, and like Joel said, with the park, the addition of that, that's going to help our the neighborhood. I think this is good.
Anyone else? Roll call, please.
Tarulis.
Nay.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Milchewski.
Aye.
Peterson.
Nay.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Nay.
Frieders.
Aye.
Motion passes.
No,
you
need six,
Mayor.
Need six, sorry.
Yes, aye.
Aye. So motion passes.
Motion passes.
Alderman Koch, you have number one from the consent agenda as well.
Okay. Resolution approving the intergovernmental agreement for reciprocal building inspection services between the United City of Georgia and Nintendo County, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second. Comments or questions? Okay. No comments or questions.
I didn't hear that.
Right.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah, got it. You're smart.
But you wanted to vote on this. I gotcha.
My house is in deterioration.
Roll call, please.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Milchewski.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, now public safety, or admin report. Tim, anything from Park Board? Nothing from PZC, no City Council Board, City Clerk's report, and a community and liaison report. Yes, sir, go ahead.
The update on the National Suicide Prevention and Action Month proclamation. We've got 55 participating cities, 5 participating counties, and now 20 participating states.
Very nice. Good work. And I know a number of us are going down to Springfield tomorrow to lobby our state legislatures for a variety of different issues. I think there's still room if any other aldermen want to jump on the bandwagon. You're going, Jason?
Going.
All right, good. Okay, any other community or liaison reports? Staff reports?
No reports.
Okay, Bart, you have a 2020 budget presentation.
Budget, so that's one column in the budget, and everything else beyond fiscal year
we've got the blue line here. That's last year's five-year budget proposal. So this is the general fund surplus deficit as a comparison. And the red line here is this year's five-year budget proposal. So in general, fiscal year 19 is the current year. Fiscal year 20 is the year we're discussing. We're a little bit better off than the general fund we expected. With some additional police officers that we've got proposed. A little worse off in 21. When you actually look at the underlying fund balance for the general fund, the blue line is last year's five-year budget proposal, and the red line is this year's five-year budget proposal. We're actually a little bit better off. So even though we've added a whole bunch of police officers, we're better off because our revenue projections are outperforming expectations. When you take all the funds together, add them, and then tally them up, in fiscal year 19, which is our current year, we're a lot better off than we had expected because of deferred projects, control of management-related expenses, but then also just revenues are performing at expectations. But the capital projects that are deferred in fiscal year 19, we're going to spend in fiscal year 20 before we come back in line in fiscal year 23 and 24. So this is a five-year aggregate fund balance. This is all the funds in the budget added together. And how much cash is left over in general reserves. So on a five-year basis, we talked last year, this blue line, that we were going to bottom out in fiscal year 22 and actually show an uptick in aggregate fund balance in fiscal year 23, which is the first year that we had shown that, I think, in 10 or 12 years. So this year, we're a little bit better off on those first few years, and then the uptick comes at the bottom of fiscal year 23 and then up into fiscal year 24. In the past, we've talked about aggregate fund balance, a threshold for fiscal distress of being $3 million. And so there have been five-year budget proposals in the past where we've crossed that threshold of $3 million. Last year's budget proposal, we got near it, didn't touch it. And this year, we're farther away from it for more years than not until we bottom out in fiscal year 23. So those are things we just need to keep in focus as we talk about all of our budget points. Okay, so from the top, from a big picture perspective, your fund balance, general fund, your policy is 30%. So we're at 39% fiscal year 20. We're going to keep it above 35% fiscal year 21, so that's above policy, which is good. It does dip to 27% in fiscal year 22, so that's below your policy, so we need to make some decisions if our budget projections come in line exactly how we show them for 3 years. And just a reminder that this fund balance in the general fund is offset by whatever negative fund balances there are in the TIF. And we'll get into those here in a second, too. Water fund basis, we do get down to 36% fund balance. And again, that policy is 30% minimum in fiscal year 21, so 2 years into the future. But we do get it back up to 136% in fiscal year 24. That's a conscious decision to fund developer debt obligations that were incurred prior to the recession. So we've got some of those coming due in fiscal year 24 and 25. We've got a lot of capital projects in there. So water tower paintings, we'll get into all those things. So there are projects that could be deferred if needed. But we've done a pretty good job of funding those unfunded capital projects in the past and actually knocking them off the list. Sewer fund is the same thing. We are going to get down to 19% 2 years from now, fiscal year 21. But we, again, propose to bring that back up to 71% fiscal year 24 to fund developer debt obligations that are due right around then. And both in the water and sewer fund, we're not proposing any fee or rate increases from last year to this year. So we've kept those frozen even though we're doing all these capital projects. From a revenue perspective, the last couple years that we've talked, we were worried last year that some of our sales tax numbers were lagging behind expectations. They then outperformed our expectations like right after we did the budget proposal. And they've tracked generally above expectations since then. So that's good. So we'll get into the revenue projections individually, but they are outperforming expectations, which is good. We have a lot of major capital projects, roads, water, sewer, we'll get into. And then we are adding staff, so 6 new police officers by fiscal year 24, which still leaves us, I think, 20% below where we were at the recession. Peak of the recession, we had, I think, 105 employees at our peak. So again, this is just isolating the general fund and the fund balance. Our policy is 30%. We want to stay above that. So we've got a year and a half for projections to be monitored. increasing it. So just historically, I've shown a version of this chart every year, I think since just the year 9 or 10 when I took over. You know, prior to the recession, we had a lot of debt and bond proceeds included within our general fund and our fund balance. We bottomed out in the middle of the recession, actually like early out of the recession, and managed to climb our way out of that deficit during the recession, and then after we've managed to improve it up to policy. So we're currently in fiscal year 19, so between last year and this fiscal year, we expect no change to general fund balance, and then in fiscal year 20, we're proposing an even budget, so that doesn't impact fund balance either, before, again, we need to start making some decisions in the second through fifth year of the budget on what we're doing. Water fund, so this is a similar chart, but only for the water fund. Again, we're in fiscal year 19 right now. We're at 88% fund balance, so way above policy. We're doing a lot of capital projects, so we're going to complete those capital projects until we manage to build fund balance in fiscal year 24 when we've got those developer obligations. Sewer, same thing. We're currently sitting at 39%. We're going to draw that down through doing some new capital projects and then build it back up in a five-year period. So when you add all these cities, funds together, again, $3 million right here is what we're looking at for fiscal distress potentially. So we need to make sure that in the next 3 or 4 years before we get here, we're conservatively budgeting, that we are managing our operational expenses, and making sure our capital projects come in less than what we had budgeted. Okay, so let's talk about all the projects that we've got in each fiscal year. I'm not going to read every one of them off. You can read them there in the memo. Big things, roads, state route expansions, funding our local share of those. Water projects, you know, everything from water treatment plants, water tower paintings, to water studies, the long-term regional water supply issues are funded in there. Route 71 water projects, things that we were worried about being able to fund years ago, we're now funding. The one I want to highlight out here is Mill Road. So we have a tentative commitment from the developer of the Grand Reserve Subdivision to front fund those funds to be able to do the rehab and realignment. Of that road, the earliest possible timeline that could occur is fiscal year 20, so we've shown that in the budget that way. If we miss it and it goes to fiscal year 21, or if a recession happens and it falls through, you know, we can always pull that out of the budget later date. Fiscal year 21, again, a lot of road, state road projects, local projects, water projects, a couple park projects, sewer projects, all in there. Fiscal year 22, we start to get 3-4 years out. We have less projects planned because we're waiting to see what we need to do, and we reserve that decision-making for future years in city councils. So fiscal year 23, again, same thing. We got water tower, we've got park improvements, a lot of things that have previously been unfunded we're now funding. So again, when you take all those things into account, this is our aggregate city fund balance. So we need to make sure that as this is trending towards fiscal year 20 and 21, we're doing these things, that maybe we defer some, or maybe our revenue projections end up coming in better than we had conservatively budgeted. Okay, so on to the items to note. So these are individual paragraphs in the budget memo, just highlighting them quickly. Our purchasing manager, which is a shared employee with Oswego, has already saved, by our estimate, $65,000, so that's more than half of her salary, just since July. None of that includes soft costs. There is a one-page summary in the budget memo that highlights those costs. There's actually 3 pages of detail that you didn't get. They were inadvertently omitted from the memo. I'll send those out after this meeting. It lists every major project, research, purchasing that she's worked on for both Oswego and Yorkville. And if it's research only, a general estimate of how much time she spent on those projects. So the general theory being, obviously, that she is an expert in purchasing, so she's better equipped to deal with those issues than department heads are, and she's at a lower salary than the department heads, so it saves us money for both communities. Bond refinancing, we finished the Wyndette Ridge SSA refinancing bond at the last meeting. That is the current estimate that we're showing. I think we communicated a little bit lower dollar amount. It doesn't close for a couple more weeks, so we'll see what happens there. Property taxes. We had set up a multi-year plan to reduce property taxes. We did that. I'll show that in the next chart. The last 2 years, we've increased property taxes only by the rate of new construction, which means you build 10 new houses, you're basically levying last year's property taxes on those houses as new, and everybody else should pay the same dollar amount, all else things being equal going forward.
forward. So here's that multi-year plan. 2011, we had our non-abated property tax issue. Citizens approved a non-home rule sales tax by referendum. We were able to immediately reduce property taxes. I think it was 37% at that point. And then reduced it 5 to 10% each year after that until 2017. So 2018 taxes were 2%, I think, higher in aggregate. But again, it shouldn't have impacted your tax bill because that's how much new construction we had. And 2019, the year that you'll actually pay those taxes, is the same thing. So it should be flat, all else being equal. So in the downtown TIF, we've got TIF 2 created. TIF 1 is still not extended, so that's a project we're still pursuing in different versions. We did put a couple new projects in there from last year to this year, beautification projects, so a small part of the downtown Courthouse Hill landscaping, and a residential and commercial facade improvement program. We've got a modest amount of funds in both TIF 1 and TIF 2 for a pilot project for this upcoming year. From a capital projects perspective, overall, we're going to be spending more money in fiscal year 20 than we did in fiscal year 19. That's primarily in hopes of Mill Road coming to fruition in this upcoming year. Road to Better Roads, that's our branded local roads program. It's $1.4 million in total projects between sewer, water, and pavement. About $700,000 of it is actually pavement. When you take all the other state projects, local projects that have popped up, the Spring Meadows, Countryside, things that we've done as one-off, we're spending a lot closer to $2 million, which is our annual target, local road improvements per year. Just the branded portion of it is only $700,000 for now. So that'll be a discussion we have over the next 5 years. On the unfunded capital projects, it's a long list of projects. It gets a little bit shorter each year. And this year, we've actually knocked out three pretty big ones. Feature Center HVAC, we managed to do that with what we thought would be deficit spending in this current fiscal year. And we're projecting now that that'll actually be a slight surplus this year. So even with that project included, that's great. Mill Road, the developer annexation agreement comes through. Then the Bristol Bay intersection improvements, which we traded that were developer obligation during the recession, $3 million plus, three intersections, stoplights, Route 47, Galena Road. Route 47 is funded in the current five-year, multi-year plan with IDOT from Crossroad in Sugar Grove all the way down to Galena Road. And so those intersections will be undertaken and paid for almost entirely by the state. So that's good. We've at least taken that off our unfunded projects list because we think it might happen. If not in 5 years, depending on whatever the state does, it, maybe a little bit beyond that. Water rates. That we proposed to freeze them for this year. So that's actually the third year in a row that we haven't touched that. We did a five-year rate increase 8 years ago now, and then we had 3 years of 0% rate increases. And then after that, we're proposing between 2 and 5% in aggregate growth in that water sales revenue line item. And again, as we talked last year, that can be made up through just new housing starts. It can be made up through usage. It doesn't necessarily have to be an inflationary increase on the water rates. So that's something we can look at every year. We've talked about IMET in the past. This is now going back 5 or 6 fiscal years. It's in litigation. We're working with the federal government and the different entities associated with IMET to recover that bad debt. So it's been written off by the city, I think, back in fiscal year 16. So it hasn't shown up in our books. So if we manage to actually get that money, it just shows up as miscellaneous revenue in our budget, which is good. City Council top 10 goals. In past years, we have had very detailed plans. We've had very limited plans because the number one goal for the City Council was staffing, primarily police officers. We put all of our efforts into just an overall financial outlook and hiring as many as possible. So we do have 2 new officers proposed for fiscal year 20. It'll bring us up to 33. We actually have 1 of those sworn officers in flux due to a personnel decision that's being arbitrated currently. So we do have 33 proposed, no matter what happens there, and then 1 officer each year after that. So that can be accelerated or deferred depending on budget performance each year. From a building inspection perspective, we're still leading our neighbors and most of the state in new single-family housing starts. Haven't gotten confirmation on what number we actually are in the state, but it is probably top 5. We had 260, I think, new housing starts last year, so that's multifamily included, which is a huge number. Our inspection count keeps increasing, even after we eliminated the build program. So last year we hired a property maintenance inspector.
inspector just to take away some of those inspections from our two full-time staff members. And workload really hasn't gotten any better because everything's been so crazy there. So from an engineering department perspective, we still recommend outsourcing, and we think it's cheaper than in-housing it was prior to the recession. We do have our facilities master plan funded in the proposed budget. Haven't done one in 13 years now. And that is currently under review by staff. Proposals were closed a couple weeks ago. Sewer fund that we talked about is drawing down that fund balance. That fund is less volatile than some of our other enterprise funds. So that's a conscious decision there. We think that that's okay to do, and then we build it up over time. Our infrastructure fees, which are on the utility bill, we talk about that every year. There's a sunset on them. They're between $4 and $8 per month. We evaluate those annually. We don't propose to eliminate them this year. There is a chance that that could change within a five-year budget, depending on growth, connection fees, and city council priorities on capital projects. So that's something we can talk about here. We just didn't want to show it from a conservative perspective yet until the city council had talked about that. So that's all your items to note. On your small picture with each one of your funds, there's a lot more detail in the budget memo, so this is just kind of the highlights here. In the general fund on your revenue side, we talk about property taxes. We assume 2% going forward, so that could be new construction, could be inflation, could be a city council decision to levy the maximum property taxes under the law, which we've levied less than that the past several years. In the heyday of growth, and as things ramp up here, your tax cap percentage year over year, some years, was 5 to 10%. So you had that much new construction under the recession that you could have captured that revenue year over year. Some years we did, some years we didn't. So 2% could actually end up being on the low end, depending on what happens with the local economy. Your police pension property taxes went way up last year. I think that's like a 15% year over year increase. The year before that, it was flat, which was great, but our obligations increased. We had more officers. We changed some of the actuarial assumptions, and so our contribution needed to go up there, too. But we're funding it, so our funding level is going up, too, which is good. From a home rule, or a non-home rule sales tax and a regular sales tax perspective, we talked a couple years ago that we were assuming 3 or 4% growth per year. There was one year, 2 years ago, where we were tracking much less than that, and then it changed. So we've conservatively estimated 2% going forward. Hotel tax, we've got a new hotel opening, hopefully mid-2019. But we're not proposing any increase. We think that there might be some transfer sales, and so we didn't want to get ahead of ourselves there. From a state income tax perspective, the state's economy is doing a little bit better. Whether or not a graduated income tax is approved by referendum and then implemented, or the rate has changed, our local share of that income tax is actually flat and set by law. And so any increase in this per capita estimate for each resident that we have would actually grow only with the flux of the state level economy. So we did do that special census a couple years ago, which was great because that increased our per capita distributions by 14%. So that's been a significant revenue influx for us. Same with the use tax. So online sales taxes, now we're getting those. That's causing that to go up a lot more, too. Building permits, they're continuing to outperform expectations. They are super volatile, so we are very conservative on our projections there, and we only use them as one-time revenues, so we don't get ourselves into a trick bag of using those for operational expenses. Two pieces of good news I wanted to highlight here. We have more cash. We have fund balance. Projects are getting deferred. We have conservative budgeting practices. So we have cash. It's earning interest. So we've got $80,000 in annual return currently for investment returns and earnings. So that's great. And from a miscellaneous income perspective, we rebid our credit card program a couple years ago. We're getting $13,000 for credit card rewards each year. So that just goes into the general fund for any purpose. So that's great. On the expenditure side, we've got assumptions throughout all the departments, salary increases that are generally set by union contract and city council prerogative. Our health and dental insurance rates, which we're going to review next week at admin committee, actually came back at a negative 0.06% of return, which is good. So no increase from year to year on health and dental insurance rates. But we do conservatively estimate 5 to 8% going forward, and that's been our standard practice for the past few years. Our
IMRF pension employer contribution actually went down in 2019, so that saved us a little bit of money too, which is good. Tuition reimbursement, we planned for that. We have a policy. They submit it to different management staff, so we have a few employees that are currently going through that, and a couple of employees who are actually going to be graduating this fiscal year, so maybe we'll have a party for them. Training, similar amounts as in years past, national conferences, state-level conferences, making sure we're up to date on our training and certifications. Conservative growth in commodities, so fuel, electric, gas. Professional services, which is a kind of a catch-all operational line item in each budget. There's examples of those in the memo if you're curious, and we actually include the detail for each one of those so you can see them. Two new police officers in fiscal year 20, and then computer replacements in the department too. So in the general fund, in a couple of the different departments, we've got the UDO funded, which is the agreement that we just approved with Housel, Levine, and Associates. Our inspection outsource estimate, we expect to be $125,000 in fiscal year 20. That's what it ended up being in fiscal year 19 because demand was so high, even though we added a new staff member. Once you get above six digits, that's something that maybe we should look at in-housing, depending on how demand actually comes in during the construction season. So that's something we're monitoring. From a street operation and snow operations perspective, we did add calcium chloride solution to our winter operations inventory, so that's budgeted for this fiscal year 20 budget. And then under the admin services, which is a catch-all department, we do propose to continue the purchasing manager with Oswego, so that's a 50-50 split between us and Oswego. Same for the facilities manager, that's shared with Oswego. Our ERP, which is Enterprise Resource Program, that's our accounting, building permit, police software, so it's citywide. We didn't include in the budget for now, but we do have an RFP outstanding. We figured we'd go through, do the due diligence, maybe get some numbers figured out, actually figure out what our implementation schedule is, and hopefully have some positive budget returns at some point in the near future for those. Then we did decrease our sewer transfers we discussed last year's budget proposal, so that's reflected in the services. Also in there, rental assistance program, so that's the GC Housing Senior Rental Subsidy. So we do budget for it at maximum liability of about $12,000 a year. I think last year's projection ended up only being $4,000 or $5,000, so it's less than half the maximum liability. So we do have three tenants in there that are using it, which is good. So they've got a little bit of income, so we're not subsidizing the full amount. Our Wrigley utility tax rebate was a Skittles factory expansion era incentive program. That hit for the first year last year, so that's now shown moving forward. The budget for KenCom, a lobbyist contract, that's for Metro extension, and our IT contract with our existing vendor and all the capital projects that come along with that. All that put together brings you into a general fund that is projected to be zero at about $16.5 million in fiscal year 20. So on to the other funds, two SSA funds for HOAs that we manage, Fox Hill, Sunflower, levy amounts and projects as we've discussed in years past, and at levy amounts that we previously communicated in the levy ordinances that we approve each December. In our MFT fund, so these are capital projects for motor fuel taxes, we've got a total drawdown, so trying to get that fund balance down to zero within a five-year program. We've got baseline road in there. We don't do another inspection on that bridge until fiscal year 2020. And so if we have to, we can close it, but that project is another project that's included within the IDOT Route 47 expansion plan, so they would take over that bridge project and fund the majority of it. We did move most of our street supplies out of this fund for ease of management purposes, and then most of our road-to-better roads expenses are now in this fund in fiscal year 20. Citywide capital fund, we've got road infrastructure fee in place through fiscal year 24. We'll talk about that a little bit. We get a whole bunch of road transportation network impact fees, $2,000 per unit. We potentially could reduce that at some point in the next 5 years. We funded our facilities master plan. We've got a fueling station in there, which is a project that the purchasing manager is actually running to give us a return on our investment, reduce our fuel costs. And we've got a whole bunch of major capital projects in here, too. So state route expansion, Mill Road is in year 2, fiscal year 20 at the earliest, as I previously mentioned. From a vehicle and equipment perspective, we went back down to one squad car annually. When we talked to the chief this year, he said he would rather have staff this year rather than cars. So in years past, that's been the exact opposite. So we tried to accommodate that. We do have some public works trucks which we moved into water and sewer because they're actually water and sewer trucks, so they should be funded there. We've got a playground equipment funded, so that's a replacement of existing end-of-life equipment. Then we still have a fund balance in there from our sale of acreage in Bristol Bay Regional Park, Sports Dome facility currently sits. And the debt service fund, this is one example of pavement projects that we spend money on. They were just completed 10 years ago. So we used to do a Road to Better Roads program. It was called the Kingtown Road Program. We sold a bond, I think, in 2006 to do it. We're still paying for it, so we have debt associated with the projects, pavement projects that we completed, you know, 10 plus years ago. But the good news is that we not abated the property taxes this year, and so we didn't collect any of that debt service from the residents as we used to back in 2011. Water fund, we talk about water sales revenues. Talked about water rates staying flat for the third year in a row, the water infrastructure fee staying the same. All of that supports connection fee assumptions, land acquisition related to our regional water supply discussions, well rehab, water tower painting, which is new, cation and media exchange, so things you have to do in your water treatment plant to keep drinking water safe and clean. And then capital projects like the water main expansion. All funded in there. Sewer fund, again, no increase in the rates from last year to this year. We have a major project that we're proposing in fiscal year 2022. It's a sewer SCADA system, so we have a water SCADA system. It allows our staff to remotely monitor and control our water system. We want to do the same with our sewer lift stations and pump stations, and so that will be a little bit of an efficiency for our staff, but it, you know, should prevent backups and other things from time to time. And again, we're proposing to fund those things and draw down fund balance over time and then replenish it at the end of a five-year period. And the land cash fund, so this is parks and recreation impact fee related to playgrounds. Grand Reserve, Park C, I think it's Park A actually, I get my letters mixed up, is in the annexation agreement amendment we just approved tonight actually. So that's planned for fiscal year 20. Assuming the developer puts up those prepayments. We've got the same thing, potentially not a creep, depending on what goes on with that annexation agreement amendment. And then Braintree is the one I was talking about. And then Autumn Creek is previously planned project. And then some other parks related to outside grants, commitments that we have made, and then subdivisions which are moving. From an operational perspective in Parks and Rec, they're consistently meeting expectations on expenditures and revenues. They're running programs appropriately, conservatively estimating their revenues, so they're doing well every year. They've generally got the same program for hometown days, but their baseball program related line items did increase with our in-house BYOBSA youth baseball program. From a TIF perspective, in Countryside, we talked about the hotel and banquet facility. Those property taxes we expect to hit in fiscal year 21. The payout of the incentive agreement actually should occur in fiscal year 20, which is going to mean that the fund is going to be upside down for 1 year because of that incentive payout. But then after that, it should be right side up and then back to actually fund neutral in fiscal year 25. So that was something that we fretted over for a number of years during the recession and is now on its way to being fixed as more lots are built out. We do have debt service that actually extends a couple years beyond the end of the TIF, but as the property taxes come in, lots get built. To the extent that they overperform, you can pay that debt down a little earlier, just reserve it, and then pay it off over time even after the TIF is done. In your downtown TIF, so this is TIF 1, we've got Courthouse Hill Landscaping Project, we talked about that, continuation of our wayfinding signs purchase, tactical urbanism projects, which are things like giant kickball billiards, put in the downtown for our evening weekend patrons, a facade weekend program for residential and commercial, and it is going to be upside down through at least fiscal year 24 unless if there's a nice new large project that's proposed there. In downtown TIF 1, that may not be the case since we only have 11 years left in that TIF. If it gets extended, I could see something coming to fruition much quicker. In TIF 2, that's got a full 23 years. We didn't propose anything in there other than a facade rehab program and some legal costs just to administer the funds. As it starts to generate increment, or we get new projects in TIF 2, which, of note, the old jail is in TIF 2, you know, that could generate a significant amount of property taxes that could buoy the fund in the future. those are the end of the funds. This is our schedule. So again, this is the only presentation. Public hearing, next meeting. We've got a couple meetings for a debate and potential approval after that. We usually don't approve things on the same night as the public hearing. And if anybody's interested, our full budget proposal, including Excel spreadsheet and PDF, is available here. And if you have questions, I think my and Rob's email is listed somewhere, if not in the budget document on the website. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. Thank you.
Thank you, Bart. Do we have any additional business? Well, we're going to do discussion next week. Do you want questions? If you got a question, ask.
If there's a question, even if I can't answer it, I can record it and then send an email up to everybody.
I just had a quick question. I know the plow is the compounding this year. Is that, I didn't go through like page by page. I just read the summary. Are we addressing plows?
There are no large snow plows currently proposed in the budget. What we've talked about is grain reserve annexation agreement amendment as it currently sits could fund other impact fees, including public works impact fees, which would then allow us to, you know, replace maybe one or two. We've got our purchasing manager looking out for, you know, already built plows that are sitting on lots, which usually doesn't occur, but happens from time to time, trying to get those at a reduced price. To the extent that everybody was okay with either deficit spending now or waiting a couple months for fiscal year 19 funds to materialize, you definitely could fund a number of plows out of that. So it was kind of one of those things where we said it's just not ripe right now, it's end of season, so you know, why not wait a couple months and see what happens.
Okay. So is the purchasing manager looking for one of the flames out of it again?
We're always in a stickers.
Any additional business? We do have an executive session tonight, litigation. Should be quick. So I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Roll call, please.
Turles.
Aye.
Milshewski.
Aye.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Clocher.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Raiders.
Nay.
Mission passes.
Okay, there will be no action after executive session.